And today we're going to start talking about identity. And you know how we do it at Ignite. We find someone sitting right next to us and we ask them something. And so this is how at the start of our identity series, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, who are you? Let them answer and then let them ask you the same question. Who are you? That sounds like the most simple question, doesn't it? But it's actually the hardest question to answer because it's a question that deals with my identity. If you ask me who am I and I say Mark, I mean, that might just be a dog with a hare lip or it's something totally different. Okay, that went right over your heads. Mark. Okay, so when I say who am I would probably spend the rest of my life figuring the answer to that question out. And I could answer it, don't you think, in a whole lot of ways. What did you hear coming back? Names. But there could be a whole lot of things because what is it? What is identity actually? Well, let me try and define it like a psychologist would, but dumbed down a bit. The qualities that make us definable or recognizable. Recognizable and definable, two kind of different things, don't you think? If you're going to recognize me, yo, there's Mark. Yeah, it's that old guy with gray hair and he's kind of balding a little bit and he wears kind of like out-of-date clothes, looks like he's 1980s, he's born in the 60s, and you're starting to describe and define who I am, but I guess at some point there's deeper qualities, and where do I get it from? Where do I get my identity? Is it from my mom and dad? Well, I guess it's a mixture of stuff. It's media. Let's face it. When I see stuff in the media, I embrace that and I do that. You know, I get a white shirt because maybe like Tom Cruise in his heyday used to wear a white shirt with like cufflinks and stuff. So like I want to be like that dude, so I wear that. Or maybe I get the kind of pants that I'm wearing because it's the clothing is what defines me, right? And if that's the case, you don't really want to shop at Pep. Or Mr. Price, you want to go a little bit up, you know, Rose Bank, some designer threads, because I'm creating my identity here. My friends could define me. The fact that I'm human, most of us in this room, I'm looking around, a couple maybe not human, but mostly, I think human race, a couple alien species, you know, but most of us, we would say I'm a human being. You know, I'm descended from an ape. You maybe, but not me. I'm from God. I'm one of those created beings, okay? What about our birthplace? When there's cricket or rugby in Joburg at the stadiums, we have an identity, don't we? Suddenly James and I are like enemies because he might be shouting for the Lions and I'm shouting for the Sharks. And I'm praying that the Sharks will like eat him up and spit him up on the beach and blue bottles and jellyfish and stuff would sting the dude and break him to pieces. It's nice, you know, it's because sport is like friendly and cool. But we have an identity. I'm passionate about being from KwaZulu-Natal. He's maybe passionate from being, then I hear this word Friday night, Pocktonian. And it causes fear within some people who are from Northcliffe High School. Because he's not just at Parktown Boys. He's, get it? Hushed tones? Pocktonian. It's scary. He's got an identity as a Pocktonian. Maybe I get it from my parents. Many of us spend our whole lives trying to be not like my parents. When Debbie wants to get under my skin, she says, you're acting just like your dad. And I don't, because my dad wears his pants up here. My son wears his pants down here. I'm like in the middle. I'm where pants should be worn. And my name, which you probably, how many of you went further when you asked the question, who are you? Most just gave your name, right? Yeah, we're going to see today it's so much deeper than that. And so today is all about I am new. No prizes for guessing where I've stolen all my images from today. It is the anime known as, you guys know it all. It's bleach. It's a dishwashing thing. It's a clothing thing. It'll make clothes white as white. Bleach. More of that as we go. Why do we need a new identity? So why are we suggesting today we need a new one? Well, let me say that the old one got stuffed up. The old one was looking really good, but somewhere along the line, two individuals who carried their original identity decided that they weren't going to go the way of their maker. They were going to rebel against the maker. They decided that they would not listen to God's designs, and they would do something unique and different on their own. And this got them into just a little bit of trouble. It kind of got them booted out of paradise, which wasn't great. It got them, you know, sent scattering across the whole world. And although there was a creator God who wanted to bring them back to himself, stuff had happened. And so what is wrong with the old identity? And so why are we having this series, I Am New? Well, let me suggest a few things. This is just illustrative. Let me suggest that at our heart, we're selfish. I don't know about you, but if there's like a cup of Coke poured and there's five glasses, within my heart, I'm going to go for the smallest one. If someone's handing out a chocolate and I'm going to take a bite, what goes through my mind is, if I can just take as little bit as possible so that they can have as much as possible. We do that, right? When there's salary time going around in my company, one day when you're in a company, what you're going to say is like, give me just a little bit of money so that the shareholders can have more money. No, I'm toying out in the streets like, oh, I'm with the union and this is not great and I want more. Down with the shareholders, up with my salary. I don't know about you, but do you ever see signs of selfishness? I want it all. You know, I'm going to do it my way. Sometimes there's a little bit of pride or booga mina, as we say in KwaZulu-Natal. Look at me. I'm the man. My clothes, my car. Bit hard in my 1994 Toyota Corolla, but if I had one of those spanking jobs, those Audi 8s, whatever they called, that's ain't not bad, that car. I want people looking at me. Keegan was driving in a muscle car. I don't know what speed you want on the freeway. I think you need to confess. He didn't drive it, but he was a passenger. Well, I mean, what did you get up to? I mean, that car is like hurtling at 180, 210. It's a muscle car. I mean, the guy that owns that is like 45. Why does he need a muscle car? He just needs it so the 16-year-old chicks say like, ooh, what a dude. But he's bald and gray and he's a stupid old man. And he's married and he's got like 30 children. Get a laugh. He should give those keys to Keegan so Keegan can have that car. But he's proud, so he's not giving those keys. He's proud. I don't know about you, but there's some anger that happens sometimes. You know, you touch me, I touch you. You smack me in the face, I'll smack you in the face harder. You know? And then I'm going to smack you in the stomach too. And then the solar plexus. And then here on the side. And if I got a knife, I'm going to stick you underneath the armpits. Which is not good because then the knife smells after that. There's anger, right? Not here on Sunday mornings. Most of us aren't angry. Until like the drummer plays too fast and Imta looks at him. I kill you! Anger. It rises, doesn't it, from within? It's the old identity. And sometimes it's almost the opposite of all that's inferiority. And I'm unsure, and I'm not sure who I am, and I think everyone else is better than me. And that's just as bad as thinking that you're better than everyone else. Somewhere in the middle, there's a healthy identity, but like too inferior, being put down your whole life and not knowing, no, you're special. You're something incredible and absolutely awesome. And none of us would ever do this, but, you know, you touch some of your mind, I'm going to touch you back. I'm going to have revenge. Me and my community, we're going to hunt you down. We're going to kill you. I don't care where I stick that knife, whether it's armpits or back of the kneecaps, but we're going to do it because we're going to hunt you down. There's like some vigilante stuff that happens sometimes. I don't know if you've watched some of the images of how when food has been handed out this week in Haiti, people are so desperate just to get food that they are almost willing to crush each other. I think the newscast guy last night said that you even will be willing to crush your neighbor because you're so desperate for food. And let's pray that the airports open up this week and people can get what they need. And the South Africans and the Russians and the Americans are flying in en masse to bring humanitarian. So it seems like in the midst of this identity, there is some good stuff. We do care and love, don't we? At our best moments, we're not just those negative things. We're not just walking around ashamed, down on ourselves. There's something within and maybe without that brings hope, because God wasn't willing to leave it like that. I want you to have a listen as Keegs jacks up the sound for this video clip.
you.
Would you like to see that one more time? That was good, but one more time.
Who are you? What is your identity? And what voices are you listening to? Let me explain. Do you ever find yourself saying, you are such a loser. You're a fraud, a failure. You don't have what it takes. You're just too stupid. Or you might look in the mirror and say, wow, I am such an ugly person. Let me ask you, do you think that that's the voice of the Almighty God that you're hearing? Or is it the voice of someone else? Now I want you to listen closely to what the Word of God says about the core of who you are. Your identity. Now the Bible says you belong to the King. You are a child of the King. You are a disciple of the King. It says you may approach the King with freedom and confidence. You have direct access to the throne of the King. In fact, it says you are seated with him in the heavenly realm, that you are made righteous by the King, that you are loved by the King. Do you understand that? That the sovereign King accepts you. He has befriended you. He has chosen you. He has completed you. Nothing you can think of can define his infinite love for you. You are adopted as his child. It says that you are united with him, that you will spend eternity in his presence. Do you realize the fullness of what that means? You have been given everything you need for life and for godliness. You are a citizen of his kingdom. You are healed by him. You are hidden in him. You are defended by him. You are guided in him. You are one with his spirit. And listen to this. You have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Do you understand that? Nothing can separate you from him. Nothing. That's not all. Oh, it goes on and on and on and on. You are established. You are anointed. You are his workmanship. You are sealed through him. You are saved by him. You are sanctified. You are justified. You have been redeemed by the King. He has cleansed you. He has bought you. You can't be forgiven of sin without him. And you can't be freed from condemnation outside of him. You were buried and baptized into his death. And you are raised with him into new life. His death is your death. His life is your life. You are made alive by the King. So listen. Don't cheat us of your contribution by living a life based on an unhealthy self-perspective. Give us what you've got. Give us the new creation that you are. You are a new creation in Christ. A new creation.
Wow, that's something to rise to, isn't it? In this new year. I am a new creation. Here's the verse that comes from in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I think Paul Washer in that video clip has done a great job of unpacking what it means to be a new creation in Christ. That verse says that the old is gone. The author doesn't stop and say what the old is, but it's quite possible that it's that stuff we were talking about when we started. The selfishness, the pride, the anger, the inferiority, the revenge and the shame. And so we could go on. All the dark stuff, the shadow side, the stuff that began to drive Luke Skywalker to become what he became in the end, just a man in a mask with a funny, ugly old voice. And if anyone is in Christ, the new has come. The new has come. Well, I went looking through every New Testament passage where the word new is used, linked to something that we are, and here's what I found. I found that there's a new birth. There was a verse, for example, praise be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's like I'm born again, right? I have a new birth. When I meet Jesus as Lord and Savior, somehow, I don't have to enter my mom's stomach for a second time, as Nicodemus asked, but I'm born again. I'm born from above. A brand new existence begins. Secondly, I saw the phrase, there's a new life. We were buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. It's like God is saying, you had an old life, now you have a new life, a new kind of life, a better life. Version 2.0. I'm done living 1.0, aren't you? That's old. That's so last year. I'm Web 2.0. I'm Life 2.0. I found the phrase new way coming up time and time again. Here's one scripture that does it. But now by dying to what was one, to what once bound us, sin, the evil one bound us, we've been released from the law so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. There's a new way of living. We saw that in our supernatural series. We're not in bondage anymore, a new way. And fourthly, I saw the phrase, a new self. Put on the new self. Put on. Doesn't sound like it's automatic. Sounds like I need to put on this new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So I have a new self. I'm moving from one thing to a new. This new self is not selfish as we saw, but selfless. This new self is not proud, but humble. This new self is not angry, but peaceful. It looks to make peace. It's going to win a Nobel Peace Prize for a contribution to humankind. This new self is not about revenge, but about forgiveness. Oh, it wants justice, and there's a place for justice to be done, but it's about forgiveness. The new self is not about shame, but about confidence, rising up, taking its place, and saying, stuff is dealt with, I can move on. And so this morning, as we move towards the close, the question again is, so who are you? And I want to suggest a couple of things that you might want to put into the mix as you begin to shape and craft and create your identity, who you are. And I'm going to get you to answer that question, who am I, in just a minute. Here's some things that we want to suggest to you as we grappled with this week, and as church is probably exploring downstairs as well this morning. I want to suggest that I am godlike and need to become godlike. That needs to increasingly be my identity. You see, God lives in those who declare that Jesus is the Son of God and they live in God. This God lives in me, and more I want to release him so that he's shining out. Have you seen how married couples begin to look like each other? It's actually quite pitiful and scary that you start marriage looking very different, and then slowly but surely your nose, your beak begins to be like her beak. You know, your hair begins to be like hers. So ultimately, you're just two wrinkled old prunes who look and love the same with no teeth even. I love you, honey. I love you too. And that's what we all get to be at 80. But there's this thing that we take on each other's likeness. Hopefully not physically, because then we're not going to look so good in the latter years. But in a similar way, I'm going to become like God. His character is going to be my character. Secondly, we want to suggest that we are Christ followers, that we look at Jesus because he left an example so that we could follow in his footsteps. And so if you're on this journey, this grow journey, this ignite journey, you're going to look at Jesus and you say, I want to be like him. I'll only take up a sword when he tells me to take up a sword, but I want to be like him. I want to suggest the third thing, that we're going to be Spirit-filled. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. How? Because the Spirit comes and pours his power on me. And his Spirit floods my life. And I can do all things because the same Spirit that lived and raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And Jesus actually said, I would do greater things, as we'll see. I want to suggest another thing, fourthly, that I'm a miracle worker. All who have faith in me, says Jesus, will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things. If you were with us for Supernatural, you know that this is what we're going after. Whatever Jesus did and more, we can do because we are miracle workers. And fifthly, this morning, we are kingdom bringers. We're going to do a whole series, 3 weeks at the end of this term, but more into next, on what it means to bring heaven to earth, to bring the kingdom of God wherever we go. So when I'm at school, when I'm at work, when I'm downtown, when I'm in a coffee shop, a little bit of heaven is going to be felt and experienced by everyone there. If someone has a problem, a financial lack, a physical ailment, God has placed me there not to say, oh, shame, sucks to be you. God has put me there to bring his kingdom, heaven, into that. And so he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What an opportunity to see that prayer realized. And so I want you just to sit for 10 seconds, long time. I'll give you 13. And I want you to think about the answer to that question. Who am I? What is my identity? If someone had to ask me, if you walked into a job interview and someone said, so who are you? What would you say? I'm not sure. What are you wanting? Hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm an accomplished accountant. I'm someone who wants to bring life, bring change. I'm someone who, when I walk in the room, the place changes. And people say, like, what happened? This morning when the electricity went out and we could do nothing to start the service, that was like the absence of everything that we want and need. May it be like when we walk in the room that we put the switch on. Who are you? Who are you going to be? What's your identity? We're going to be exploring some things later in this term, aspects of identity. But you know, this week as you think about this question, I want to challenge you that living it is a lot harder than saying it. To live my identity. To live my identity means that I accept who I am, who God has created me to do, to be. I'm going to accept that I'm a new creation. I'm going to become what I am. Life is becoming who you are. You are new, so live it. Don't live the old identity. Secondly, I want you to starve the old man. Not your father, not your grandpa, not the president. But I want you to starve that old person. Don't feed the old identity anymore. Watch what you read. Watch what you listen to. Be careful who you hang with. Because all the influences around us. Have you ever been in a place with someone who's like severely depressed? And a little bit later you're like, I want to like eat razor blades myself and slit my wrists. They've had an influence on you. You need to be around people that are going to build you up, build up your identity. And as you starve, you need to feed. Feed the new man, the new ID. Know that you are a new creation. So read good stuff. Listen to good stuff. Watch good stuff. Consume stuff that's going to enable you to be who you are. As leaders, we've embarked on a new plan to read our Bible this year. And every day it means reading a chapter here, a chapter there, chapter, about four chapters. And it's a reading plan that leaders throughout our movement are embarking on. And maybe some of our adult leaders and teen leaders might be up to this if we share it with them in this coming week. But it's about getting scripture in so that it can begin to shape us. And so I want you to also hang with other newbies. When you're a new person in this scene, you're like a newbie, right? Find other people that you can hang with, other newbies. What one thing will you do this week to live your new ID? I want you to make a resolve now that as you leave Ignite this Sunday morning, before we have a time of refreshments, which is a new thing in between our two services, I want you to think of something that you're going to do in this coming week. Something to be new, to live new, to be different. What one thing will you choose to do in this coming week? I am new. I have a new identity. I want to increasingly live the new identity. Next week, Andrew's going to challenge us about being warriors. Come back ready for that. Father God, we want to thank you that when we went astray from you, you didn't leave us there. You came and found us and you brought us back to yourself. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to make us new. We pray that as we embark on this new identity journey, that you would give us a whole new way of being, a whole new look to our lives, that we would make a difference. This world would be different because we've lived. God, bring us back next week desiring to be warriors for your name and teach us what that means and how we can do and live that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.